The views expressed on this podcast is strictly of the host and any subsequent guests. In other words, this ain't got shit to do with my employer.
Whole team committed, gotta go and get it, chose to be ignorant, that was the decision, whole team committed, gotta go and get it, chose to be ignorant, that was the decision.
I done came down, still hollering, what's up with it, I do it for my fam, friends and my enemies, we choose to be ignorant, I blow smoke like incense, all my folks go get it, rough show the realest, so multi-million, oh what a feeling, never seen a ceiling, we are in the building, rather build the building, work to do plenty, no time for chilling, put on for my city. Ignorant choices, 300 horses, self-worth more than your Porsches, bring it to your front door, where your porch is, gorgeous, looking like a Basquiat portrait, that means I'm feeling blacker than ever, young black male, get the bag, package delivered, shout out to my brother on a whole nother level, Mr. Rough Show, can't no one do it better,
Hey, what's up, what's up? And man, welcome to the Ignorant by Choice podcast. It's your host, Rough Show. I'm glad to be here. Once again, we on the fifth episode. The fifth episode, man. Ooh, and I had something kind of, I don't necessarily want to say it was fun. I mean, it was just like, I had made a list of some things that people do, and the things that they do, I kind of consider them like, you know, sociopaths, psychopaths, and terrorists, right? And so I was going to drop that for this episode, you know, something a little lighthearted compared to some previous episodes. Oh, but no. I had to go and watch a podcast. I listened to a podcast once I got off work this morning, and it threw me for a loop. Like, when I tell you, it got your boy all in his feelings, and I wasn't even trying to be in my feelings. So I don't know if you guys, any of my listeners, you're familiar with, you know, Kev on Stage. And so him and his wife do a podcast together called The Love Hour. And, you know, his wife's name is, you know, Miss Kevin on Stage. Her real name's Melissa. And so I saw, like, so, you know, on their podcast, you know, they also do videos. So I saw the video, and it was a dude sitting between Kev and his wife, Melissa. And so I was like, oh, you know, who's this guy? Let me, you know what I'm saying? Because they were sitting on like a full-size bed in the hotel. So I was like, I wonder who this guy is. Let me check it out. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't even read the description. And so I clicked on it, you know, boom. Come find out it's Kev's older brother. And so in the video, you know, they were talking. And he's basically, you know what, he was giving his testimony because he had cancer. I forgot what type of cancer it is. It's not one of the ones that we're familiar with, like, you know, prostate, breast cancer, or lung cancer, or skin cancer, or and then those type of cancers. But it's something where his bones are deteriorating. And so I was like, I got this problem, like, when I watch something or I start watching something, I have to kind of watch it all the way through. And so I wanted to cut it off because I was like, oh, now I got to record my podcast. And I don't really know, you know what I'm saying, how this is going to turn out. So I was like, I really want to cut it off. And so then, you know what I'm saying, I didn't cut it off. And so then he started going into, you know, his story. So now I'm like, man, I gotta watch till he say, you know what I'm saying, that he's gonna be okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he beat it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm hoping for. Because looking at him, you know what I'm saying, looks like he's doing good. And so I'm like, man, I gotta at least get to that point before I stop watching it. And so I'm watching the full thing. He's telling the story. And, you know, like I said, that's Kev on stage, older brother. And, you know, for me, like, I'm in a quest, if you know me, man, one of the things that I always talk about is my siblings. Like, you know, I'm pretty close. I don't even want to say pretty close. Like, I'm thick as thieves with my, you know what I'm saying, with my brothers and my sisters. And, you know, one of the things that, like, so when it comes to cancer, it's something that, you know what I'm saying, I know everybody knows somebody who either has cancer, survived cancer, passed away from cancer, or has been close to somebody who's dealing with somebody who has had cancer. And, you know, it's a very destructive disease. It doesn't just destroy your body, you know, it destroys your mind as well, in the sense of, you know, trying to make it through the treatments, not being active and energizing as you normally are. So for me, so I have a bunch of brothers and sisters, a lot of them. So, and we all don't share the same mama, we don't share the same father, but it's quite a few of us. And so, you know, I've had three brothers whose moms has had cancer. Two of them had breast cancer. Well, three of their moms had breast cancers. It's three different brothers, three different moms. Two of them was able to overcome breast cancer. One of them, unfortunately, she put up a good fight, man. When I say she put up a good fight, she held out for a really long time. I'm saying for like years. Probably one of the strongest women I've ever had the pleasure of knowing, if not the strongest woman. Just for, like, when I say she took Mama Wilson, that's her name, Miss Wilson, but you know, I call everybody Mama, so, you know, Mama Wilson, to kind of distinguish between, you know, say my siblings' parents. But she put up a really, really good fight for it. Man, when I say she went 12 rounds, she went 12 rounds, and, you know what I'm saying, for she, like, lost her battle. I don't even want to say she lost her battle. She got called home, you know, a couple of summers ago. Then I have my other brother. He lost his father to cancer as well. So, and then I have my best friend, you know, he lost his fiance to cancer as well, and she was in her 20s. So, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of the people that's around me, and people I love and care about so much, they, you know what I'm saying, you know, cancer just kind of been, you know, kind of been a bitch, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's been, you know, it's been tough. Cause you know, especially like when, you know, people that you care about, when they hurting, you hurting. And plus, you know, I had my own relationships with, you know what I'm saying, my siblings' parents. And so, you know, you add that on top of, you know, it's tough. Right now, I mean, I got a friend, an older friend, Kate, and like, she's dealing with breast cancer. A couple of weeks ago, my little cousin, my first cousin, he has a little girl, 5 months. If you on my Facebook page, I shared pretty much a GoFundMe because my little cousin, she's, well, she's 5 months and she has a form of eye cancer. And so, like, one of her eyes don't, she technically can't see out of. And so, you know, and she's just 5 months old. So, my, you know, my cousin and his wife, you know, they're dealing with that. So, I'm saying all this to say, you know, cancer has just, it's been really destructive towards a lot of people that I love. And I know, like, I usually don't say, I really nipped that in the bud. But I'm trying to contain my emotions because, like I was saying, I was watching their podcast, Kev on Stage and his wife podcast, and I could see, like, because, you know, at certain spots, like, they're visibly crying, like, you know what I'm saying? And Kev, you know, he's a comedian, so, you know, he don't really do well with, you know, the emotional stuff. And it's not even an episode or a podcast that he wanted to do. And, you know what I'm saying, but they did it anyway. And so, like, he's crying, like, he's crying. And I'm just like I've never had cancer, you know what I'm saying? And I pray to God I never have it. And so I can identify somewhat with the way he's feeling because that's his older brother. And because my siblings, you know what I'm saying, they parents have cancer. It's one of the things that I always worry about with them. Like, you know, we're all pretty much, a lot of us are, you know, late 20s, early 30s, mid-30s, and late 30s. And so it's one of those things where I want, you know what I'm saying, I'll be like, man, I know, for certain cancers and stuff like that, especially for men, you know, you're supposed to get your prostate and everything checked out right around your 40s. And, you know, and I know right now we're not, some of us still got a whole decade before we hit 40. But because I see, you know, I believe sometimes cancer is hereditary. And so, you know, I worry about that, or at least I try not to worry about it. I try not to give it so much thought, but I always think, maybe we should start and checked out. And I know with the prostate exam and things of that nature, like, that ain't, or the colonoscopy, all that, whatever it is that you go, I'd be like, man, I know that's kind of invasive on our quote unquote manhood, and don't nobody really want to go check that out before we necessarily have to. But because it's something that I believe, like, you know, cancer being hereditary, I'd be like, man, maybe we should. And I know, you know, a lot of times they're not going to want to go, especially ahead of time. And I'm like, man, you know, I'll go with you, man. We can go through these procedures, you know, together, because I don't know, man, like, I would, just the sheer thought of, you know what I'm saying, like, something happening to my siblings, because, you know, like I said, I'm real close to them. Like, nigga, we all we got. I mean, some of us still have our parents, you know what I'm saying? But in a sense, like, for real, like, we, like, don't nobody understand us like we understand us, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just it was like I can see the pain, the fear on Kev on Stage on his face with those tears. I like, man, you losing, you know what I'm saying? You think you're gonna lose your older brother, like your first best friend, you know what I'm saying? And so, and I was just like, and I really wanted to stop watching it. Because, you know, I'm all about being mindful of the things you consume and the damage that it could, you know, the emotions that it can spark. And it was one of the times, like, hey, listen, y'all, I messed up. I shouldn't have watched it. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to say it stole my joy, because it didn't really steal my joy, but it put me in a mood It made me think about so much. And I was just like, man. So I had got to the point like, man, I wasn't even going to record the podcast today. Or at least I was going to go to sleep first and then wake up and record it. And I was like, I'd just rather, you know what I'm saying? I was like, well, let's man, just talk about how you feel about this. Like, what's going on in your head, fam? Like, it's your podcast, man. You talk about whatever. And so we are talking about this and just my thoughts. So, man, if I'm rambling or saying, man, you hear these pauses, man, y'all just gonna have to forgive me because this is technically not what I had planned. Like I said, I had something a lot lighthearted than this, but you know, that happened. But just the on the Love Hour, so Kev's older brother, he said something in there that kind of really just set them off, that he hadn't mentioned to nobody before they did this podcast. So for the record, if you're waiting to hear if his brother, you know, doing all right, yeah, he is. Like, he's in, I think it's remission was what it called. He's in remission. He did his chemo. He had to go through a stem cell. And he's done with all of that. And so, but he made a statement, which I couldn't be, I wasn't mad at, or I wasn't really too, almost I wasn't sad about it, but like a part of me understood, you know what I'm saying? And he was just like, if he come back, he was like, he's not like, oh, by the way, his brother's is just 37. And he was like, nah, fam, I ain't going through all that no more. You know what I'm saying? Because he said, like, during the chemo and during all of that, like, he was just like, you know, he wanted to give up. And then when it came time to do his stem cell thing, like, I forgot what it was called, what it's called. But, you know, the doctor's basically like, man, it's going to be even tougher than taking the chemo. You know what I'm saying? So he almost, a couple of times, he kept pushing that back to do the stem cell stuff. I wish I could remember what it's called so I could stop saying stuff, the stem cell stuff. But he pushed that jump back a couple of times, and it wasn't until, like, his little kids, because he has kids, was like, now we need you to do this. And so he did it. He waited till after Kevin's birthday party that they had because he wanted to go to the birthday party. He was like, he didn't know, you know what I'm saying, if the stem cell procedure would, you know, if he would make it through it. And so he wanted his he wanted his brother, you know what I'm saying, that to be like his lasting memory that Kev have of him, you know what I'm saying? Like, he wanted it to be like a good memory. And I was like, yo, that's deep. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so, and after that, after he said that, he was like, if it comes back, like, it's a wrap. Like, he's like, you know, the disease in itself, like, it'd kill you. But he was like, man, it can't nothing worse being going through chemo and then having to go through another round of that stem cell procedure. And, you know, of course, like, man, and they didn't know that's how he was feeling, you know what I'm saying? So that kind of caught, you know, Kev and his wife off guard, you know what I'm saying? But it was a great podcast. Of course, you know, I pretty much follow everything Kev on stage do, because he's one of the people that I would say I look up to, that's in the entertainment business. We just because he does a lot of, he don't do a lot of podcasts, but he has like three of them. And he, you know, makes a lot of videos and things of that nature that's, you know, hilarious. But yeah, man, after I watched all that, man, like it really put me in a place of, I don't know what type of place it put me into. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? But it put me in a place. And now we here, man. And I'm just talking through it with you guys, man. I don't even know what I'm going to name this episode. Like, I have no idea what I'll even name this episode. But, yeah. So, you know. Other than that, man, you know, I had just to change subject, you know, I had a good night at work. Listen, man, if you ever seen my little sister, Niece Austin, on the Witted Committee and how emotional that she can be, you know what I'm saying, man, listen, I'm going to be straight up with you. Like, most people ain't never going to see me cry. Most people haven't. But when I say the apple don't fall too far away from the tree, man, hey, listen, it is what it is. Like, I'm a grown man, dog. Like, I can't get emotional. I can get sad. I don't have no problem admitting that. I will cry. You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily in front of anybody, you know, what folks will know or see me. But, yeah. But, yeah, it was emotional. It was an emotional episode, man. It really was. But, just to, I guess, change course a little bit. I guess I'm kind of speak on this because I know a lot of people have already spoken on what Jermaine Dupri has said about female rappers and it's all being dominated by strippers and things of that nature. And plenty of people have already said what I said, I mean, what I believe or what I'm about to say is that I think it's so hypocritical of people who have problems with like the Cardi B's, Meg Thee Stallion, City Girls, and all these, you know, female rappers that turn the strippers that turn the rappers. And I'm not even, I don't even know if that's the approach City Girl did, but I think it's so hypocritical of people to judge them when, like, if you around my age, like, if you 5 years older, 10 years older than me, I mean, 5 years younger, 10 years older, like, we righteously grew up listening to music, the trap music in our area, in our era. You know what I'm saying? Like, we literally grew up listening to trap, like, you know, the T.I., Jeezy, Gucci Man, 50 Cent. We literally grew up, like, listening to that. And I'm not saying females can't sell drugs or anything like that, but it's the same equivalent, bro. Like, these girls' hustles was stripping. The nigga hustle was selling drugs before they started rapping. You know what I'm saying? Everybody had a means to an end. And to sit back and kind of like judge them, I think it's lame. I honestly do, because there's this expectation of women to kind of be what we consider wholesome. You know what I'm saying? Of what our ideal of what a woman should be wholesome and nothing less. But a man or men can get away with kind of having an alternative lifestyle. When I say alternative lifestyle, I mean like nigga be a swiper, a jack boy, you know, steal cars, sell drugs, and we kind of, you know, in that lyric, we kind of praise them, not necessarily for the things that they did, but for overcoming that and doing something different with their lives to a certain extent, but also because they put it in their songs in a really catchy way that we enjoy. And we don't get that same okay or that same love towards women rappers who once was a stripper, which is a lot less egregious than somebody who's selling drugs to the community that they grew up in. Like, she's a stripper, man. Like, she's just twerking. You know what I'm saying? She twerked naked. And, like, I don't know if they had sex with folks and all that, but even if that's the case, man, it's a lot less egregious than somebody selling drugs. I don't really care what nobody's saying. But we don't get them the same respect, or we kind of look down on them. And of course, man, there's so many other female rappers that if you don't want to hear strip rap or stripper rap, like, you mean, you know, you got Young M.A., Rhapsody, you know, people like Tierra Whack. Like I said, it's a, quite a few other female rappers who don't rap about that type of stuff, fam, that you can listen to. And Jermaine Dupri with y'all, like, he don't like none of that, bruh. I'll be like, okay. Okay, man, he was fooling. And Jermaine Dupri was fooling. A lot of niggas be fooling. Like, I'll be like, man, these niggas, man. Like, how can you, like, bruh, if you hear a Tip Drill or Juvenile, back that ass up. If you're a nigga and you hit the dance floor to dance with a woman, dog, like, you ain't got no place to judge any woman who has twerked in her life, whether it's stripping or dancing. Like, you can't sit up here and judge city girls or none of that junk, man. Let people live their life accordingly, dog. Like, and of course, you can have your own opinion. Like, that's perfectly fine. But if your opinion is judgmental, man, like, come on, fam. Let people live. Let people enjoy their life. Let people make a living. And get off your high horse, my nigga. You ain't perfect. And that go for the women out here, too, who be degrading other women. Like, you know what I'm saying? Which I think is crazy as hell. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all got the same struggles. Y'all got the same hurdles to jump, you know what I'm saying? And however y'all get to the top, as long as it ain't hurting nobody, you should applaud it. But that's just my opinion on it. But yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and end this, man. I'm gonna try to catch me some sleep. And like, once again, like, I apologize. I know for like the first 18-20 minutes, man, it was, I don't know, I felt like I was kind of rambling, so please forgive me. I just had to kind of talk through my feelings on here about some stuff. And I'm out, fam. Y'all enjoy the rest of y'all day.
Shout out to my brother on a whole nother level. Mr. Rough Show, can't no one do it better.